Welcome to the EFM Morning Brief podcast. Can you believe it's already episode 5? I'm Wendy Mitchell, I'm your host, and I'm really thrilled to have our old friend of the podcast, Thomas Schultz, who is editor and founder of The Spot. Thomas, how are you?
Hello, Wendy. I'm probably as good as you can be after 5 days of Berlinale, which at this point already feels like you've been there for a year or so. But
at least we had some sunshine yesterday that put everybody in a good mood. By the time everybody's listening this morning, we could even have snow. Let's see. But as we hear from your accent, Thomas, you're our German industry expert.
Yes.
And I always make you talk about Germany. So, first question about Germany this year is, yeah, what's the German mood like as we headed into the Berlinale?
Well, mood in the German camp actually is very upbeat, elated, close to bullish, I would say, which is down to the fact that the first month of the year at the box office was really stupendous. I haven't looked it up, but I think we're almost up 50% compared to last year. And it's really all down to homegrown product, local product. So far, we have had 6 major German releases, and everyone is doing really, really good business. So at this point, the most successful movie of the year is a German movie, Extrawurst, Extra Sausage. I don't know.
I'm ready.
It's a German comedy, but it is sort of like a God of Carnage kind of story. And people love it. And I think there's like 3 or 4 more that are heading to the 1 million admission mark, which is, I've never seen that before, and I've been looking at the box office for a long time now.
This is exciting, and I'm not used to you hearing you say the word jubilant and exuberant and stupendous. This is great.
Also, there is good news in the German camp because of, well, there's finally movement in the funding situation. I mean, I think this is kind of like a running gag we've been talking about for 5 years now, since they first talked about revolutionizing the funding system. So finally, there's something happening. They decided on having an investment obligation by law, which the Ministry of Culture, Wolfram Weimer, was able to announce a couple of days before Berlinale. And he's taking all the credit for it, which is funny because he was not a fan of the investment obligation. He was more into a voluntary investment kind of thing. But, that's the thing they decided upon in the German government. So that put the producers in a good mood. Now the mood is not as good anymore as it was at the beginning of Berlinale, because it looks like it'll take a little more time. They thought they would be able to wrap it up in March, but now it looks like it's going to be June. So,
okay, it might not really come into effect until early 27, I guess, if it's
that is what I'm hearing. But you know, there's a lot of moving pieces, and at least things are moving. So
okay, good. And yeah, this is the 8% streamer levy that has finally been more proposed. Still needs to be approved, as you mentioned. Let's talk about the next wave of German hits, Thomas, because I always ask you, what are the German films in the Berlinale, not just in the market, in the festival selection, that you think are of special interest that might have an international life? So what are your tips so far this year? I know you probably haven't seen everything. I mean, you're our man in Germany, but even you hasn't seen everything yet.
I haven't seen everything, which is also down to the fact there's so many meetings and things that I cannot fit in everything as I would love to. So I missed the one movie that, I mean, I was looking forward to see the most, actually, Rose by Markus Schleinzer with Sandra Hüller. I have not seen it. I mean, I've talked to the filmmaker and I've talked to people involved, and they're all very happy with it. And the way they talk about it is so wonderful, because they have like such a tender way of, you know, talking about the experience of making the film. It really makes me want to see it. I talked to a couple of colleagues and they said it was the best movie in the competition so far. So.
And Sandra Hüller is the queen of the Berlinale. I can't wait to see that one.
Yes, so don't take my word for it, but it looks good. And from what I hear, it is good. The one movie that I really love is Yellow Letters, that was that had its premiere on Friday, which is, it's not funny, but you remember that 3 years ago I talked to you about how Teacher's Lounge might be the breakout hit.
Oh, yes.
And it turned out to be the breakout hit. It was Oscar nominated. It won 5 German film awards. Yellow Letters is the new movie by Ilka Chatak, the guy who made Teacher's Lounge. I think it is even more accomplished.
Oh.
And I think it's courageous, it's risky. It's a German film, but it's completely shot in Turkish with Turkish actors. And it employs something almost like a Brechtian theater that, you know, it was shot in Berlin and in Hamburg, but Berlin is a stand-in for Ankara and Hamburg is a stand-in for Istanbul, which is great because in a way it talks about you would not be able to shoot that story in Turkey, but it also opens up like a lot of more doors, I feel like, because it kind of, while you watch it and it tells you those German locations are Turkish locations, you look at the German locations and you think, well, this could be a German story as well, you know, and as we know, democracy is a fragile thing and can easily be taken away from you. And that's pretty much what the movie is about. It's like if Hitchcock had done a Bergman movie.
Oh, you've got me. There we go. We had some good news yesterday morning. It started to be announced that B for Films, who is selling Yellow Letters, I think they've done over a dozen deals. Those might have been closed as pre-sales before Berlin, but they were announced yesterday. We're seeing some sales on a hot competition title, and that makes me happy.
Yes. It's well received. And there's another German title in competition, Etwas ganz Besonderes, Home Stories in English by Eva Trobisch, which it will be out second part of the festival at the end of the festival. And that's also really, it's really interesting. It's very different, but I think she's a marvelous filmmaker with a very keen eye. And it's not like you usually see or what you see every day, the way she frames her characters or tells her stories. It's a very, very interesting film.
Yeah. And not just with the Germans, but how do you see the mood of the market? Are people actually buying and selling? We were talking to Elsa and Scott that there seems to be more parties, better parties this year. And that's not just a thing to get free drinks, but it means the industry is really here, really involved with the Berlinale. Is that what you feel?
I feel that as well, and I think it is probably a good sign for where the Berlinale is headed, because before the Berlinale started, with people just looking at the program, I think there was a slight disappointment that Trisha Tuttle wasn't able to secure bigger names or splashier titles. So if the mood at the market is good, I think it bodes well for the third year that she will go into. Because, of course, I understand that she's working on it, but it is just difficult because, as you know, Berlin is a cold festival. It's sandwiched between Sundance and South by Southwest and Cannes looming. So it's not easy to really get a foothold again after the 5 years with Carlo Chatrian, which I did not mind, but which probably did not help the festival in terms of getting big names and big titles.
Yeah, I know that's an aim of Trisha's. And yeah, I agree with you that if the market feels really fuzzy and healthy, it's a reminder to people of why we need the Berlinale so much. And yeah, the films will keep coming. Have you been to a great German party, Thomas? You and I have been known to drink beer together. Have you been drinking beer without me?
Well, I would not dare, but I went to parties. I just stayed away from alcohol. Well, the big party was 2 days ago, of course, because it was the Medienbord party, which is the local funding entity. And of course, that's kind of like the big ticket where people want to go. Very splashy, very nice. For the past, I think, 5 years, they've been doing it at the Holzmarkt, which means the party is outside. So it is cold. So you either need to drink or dance to get going. But it was packed. The mood was great. So it was really nice. And of course, there's the other hot ticket is the Netflix party. That's the one where everybody tries to get into at an interesting location at KDV, at the big department store. Those are the two very big tickets. But my favorite party since last year is like the European Film Market International party, which is at a real Berlin location, not like a fancy schmancy thing where the Germans like to hold their parties, but it's kind of like down to earth Berlin. It's at the new location of Tresor, and Tresor, of course, is the original techno club in Berlin.
Good. Okay. I am not ever warm enough to party outside, nor am I young enough to go to the original techno club. But I hope everybody has enjoyed some of those events. Thomas, thank you for being here, as always.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So we're through the weekend, but we've got so much activity today. At the Berlinale Series Market, they kick off the day with the opening panel on risk-taking and disruption, IPs and originals. After that is Up Next Germany, looking at some new German series that are in post-production. The Series Market program continues with Changing the Narrative, Gender Balance in the Industry, followed by a dynamic showcase of series from the country in focus, Morocco. All those events take place at Cinemax. You can find the full schedule online and in the app. At 10 a.m. today at Atrium Tower, the FFA, the German Federal Film Board, hosts a session about public funding for co-productions in Germany and five other countries. That's part of the co-production market. Also at the co-production market, can you believe it? It's already time for some awards. At 11:10 and 12:30, three major awards will be handed out to selected projects. As with every day, we've got some cool pitches. At 10 a.m. in the Mirror Tent, there will be a new crop of South Korean projects. At 10:30, the Nordic Works in Progress will be in the Gropius Bau Cinema. At 10 a.m. in the Documentation Center, the last day of the conference starts with a very strong panel on marketing that works. There's also a new addition to the program, very exciting, Changing the Theatrical Experience Forever. That's at 2 p.m. in Documentation Center. This will be a fireside chat with David Larkin, founder of Go Watch It and former head of business at Letterboxd, looking at how cinema has to evolve from a one-off event to something that's a social experience online and offline. After that, I can highly recommend a 2:45 fireside chat on crafting documentary series with Mark Cousins. He is the most entertaining rock and roll speaker, and of course, his new series was premiering here at the Berlinale. At 4:30 p.m. at Cafe Connect, the series of talks about audience insights from AI-enhanced research by Publicum. That will continue with Dries Flipo, Belgian producer of Dust, which is here in competition, and Tina Klint, the amazing head of Level K. At the Producers Hub, you can join more expert-led workshops looking at strategic digital distribution and also activating IP beyond the screen. At 1:15, there is Bridging Visions presenting a workshop on Asia in focus. And at 3 p.m., you can learn about film creators, not influencers, driving fandom to cinemas. At the end of the day, I can't believe it's time for a final happy hour at the Innovation and Producers Cafe. This is hosted by Futura Cinema, and you can go there to learn about the first startup award from those 12 brilliant EFM startups that were showcased yesterday in collaboration with Screen International. So that's a lot to be getting on with today. Thank you again for joining us for this EFM Morning Brief podcast. And do stay tuned. We do have another episode for you tomorrow. Have a great day.